Just want to also ask you to be praying about revival services that'll start in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, we'll have services Sunday through Wednesday. Joe and Polly Parker will be here and be our evangelist that week, ministering in the services. So be in prayer about those services. Invite folks to come, and let's believe the Lord to save the lost, do a mighty work in those meetings, the 21st, starting the 21st of this month. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 4. If we could just look at this account in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, the early ministry of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, in verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. You remember what happened at Jordan? At Jordan, he was baptized by John. And not only that, but the Bible says that the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven spoke, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." You talk about a high experience at the beginning of his ministry. This was his ministry being introduced and getting started. But then it says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 4, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The same account in the Gospel of Mark says he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answering said unto him, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because if you have served the Lord any length of time at all, or even if you're a new Christian, you will soon learn that there are spiritual highs and then there are spiritual lows. There are seasons in our life, and all of them have a divine purpose. God uses the highs and he uses the lows to accomplish a lot of things in our lives. So for lack of a better title, I didn't know what to call this morning other than just seasons of the Spirit. Things that happen to us in different seasons of our life. Now, of course, this account is the account of the temptation in the wilderness of Jesus by the devil. And I think it's pretty interesting that the last verse that I read to you, it says that the devil ended all of his temptation and departed from him for a season. Meaning, he wasn't through. We'd come back and keep trying to tempt him and keep trying that there would be seasons in the future where Satan would keep an eye. If Satan has the audacity to tempt the Son of God, then don't ever think that you're going to be exempt from that. If he has that kind of a boldness to tempt, and in this account, in three different areas, he tempted him, and each time Jesus came against him, not in his divine powers as the Son of God, but he came against him and giving to us the example that we can follow, that we resist the temptations of the enemy by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. So it's important to know the Bible, to know what the Bible says, and to understand that we can only resist the temptations of the enemy in the power of the Spirit and by the sword of the Spirit. Amen. You don't serve the Lord very long, but what you don't recognize that Satan is your enemy. He is your adversary who is going to look for opportunities, seasons, when he can come against you. He'll look for a time to come against you. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why he comes. He comes when he has an opportunity to do the most damage, to kill, to destroy, to do the worst damage against your life and your walk with the Lord. Satan comes and he wants to steal. He wants to rob the things that God has done in your life. Amen. A lot of times people have been saved, but they go through a low season and they even ask themselves, I'm just not even sure I'm saved. I'm not even sure that I know the Lord. You go through a season where Satan is coming against you because he wants to steal that experience that you have with God. He wants to destroy, or he wants to ruin. He's not satisfied with just destroying you. He wants to destroy everybody around you, if possible. He wants to do his greatest and utmost destruction in your life and to the influence of your life. Every victory that God has given to you, he wants to steal that. Every opportunity that God gives to you, he wants to steal that. Everything that God has spoken to your heart, every promise that he's given to you, he wants to steal that from you. And that's why he comes. But the counter of that is the last part of that verse. In verse 10, Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, or that you might live to the fullest. God wants you to live to your greatest potential for him, the fullest that he has for you. It's the enemy that wants to rob that from you, but God wants to make sure that you live your life as an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Amen. But we go through these seasons. I've served the Lord long enough that I understand that there are seasons of time when I'm just feeling really great about everything. Everything is going wonderful, and God is answering my prayers, and I see the hand of the Lord, and God is just blessing and working. Then there are other seasons of time when the enemy is pounding on me. He's trying to knock me down. He's trying to discourage me, depress me, defeat me. He's doing everything that he can. So don't think that it's an uncommon occurrence when you go through a time like that. It's just another season that you're in, and God can use that season to really develop you and to accomplish some wonderful things in your life. Amen. Some of you no doubt have had a blow. You've been almost knocked down, knocked out completely by some situation in your life. I've witnessed the enemy come against someone and just destroy their life, destroy their testimony, destroy their family, their home, their marriage. And it just seems like utter destruction because of the work of the enemy and the enemy succeeding in bringing them down. But there are times and seasons, just as Jesus himself is going through this temptation, being led of the Spirit, or as Mark says, driven of the Spirit. Mark also says that he deals with wild beasts while he's in the wilderness. I'm telling you, this was a tough and a challenging time. 40 days without food. It's a testing time. It's a struggling time. You can be sure that if you've served the Lord at any length of time at all, you're going to go through seasons like this. Amen. You are going to go through some times. Your best laid plans that you have to live in victory for the Lord can come to a screeching halt when the enemy comes against you, and things can just be going wonderful, and all of a sudden you feel this blast of the enemy, his lies, his deceit, the things that he brings against you to try to destroy you. We do go through seasons. Interesting thing about this is that many times the temptation comes at the beginning of some new thing that God is doing in your life. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And here he is, having had this glorious experience, a dove, the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, the voice from heaven, his Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I mean, you talk about a glorious experience that Jesus has here at the start of his earthly ministry. But then it says that the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness. The Spirit of God leads him into this temptation. And so a lot of times, these temptation times and struggles, these low times that we go through, are at a time when we're God is doing something new in our life. There's some new thing that he is doing in your life, because he's looking for an opportunity. He's looking for a chance. It may be a new marriage. It may be a new ministry. It might be a new job. It might be a new school. Some new thing, some new open door, some new opportunity that God is leading you into, and you recognize it, but then you get hit head on with this attack of the enemy against you. It's a common thing. It's a common thing. Just a few weeks ago, the last Sunday of June, Marsha and I completed 40 years of pastoring. Wow. That's a long time. We went to Oklahoma the last Sunday of June in 1982 and began pastoring there. But I have to tell you now, there's been ups and downs, good times, not so good times. But yet, my perspective on the last 40 years is God has been faithful. God has been good, and I'm thankful. But when Marsha and I started out, we left Bible school and we went to work in a church in St. Louis. And we didn't know, we didn't even make the arrangement. I just was gullible enough to think, well, everything will be wonderful. And so they put us in an apartment. It was three rooms, a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen. There was a bathroom off to the side, thankfully. But it was a three room. In St. Louis area, they call them shotgun apartments because you could shoot a shotgun from the front room to the back of the apartment without any problems. And so we're in this little apartment. I remember Marty brought Danny and Treba Hudson up to see us, and we had boxes everywhere in this little apartment, trying to find some place to put everything. Danny Hudson, in his unique way, said, "Y'all live in the slums. This is the slums y'all live in. This is rough. This place is rough." And he really encouraged us that day in the place we live. And then when we got started trying to help in this church, They had determined that our salary was going to be the Sunday school offering. And so they took up the offering and put it in a paper bag. And so we brought home the change from the Sunday school offering every Sunday. And that was our salary. We were expecting our first baby. And I have to tell you, we actually called it our pay change, not our paycheck, our pay change, because that's what it was. It was maybe $50, $50 to $60 a week, and we had to try to survive on that with a new baby coming. And I have to tell you, those were some struggling years. And I remember, and there were a lot of times that I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on here? Why am I in this situation? We came to London, and I was going to school at Cumberland, and I was working at Comprehensive Care, and I drove a bus for the mental retardation group. And so I can remember, I drove all over this county picking up mentally retarded adults for that group. And I remember thinking a few times along the way as I was driving down the road and the bus is full of people that were having a good time, and thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? What is going on? What am I doing here? But I want you to know there always will be those seasons of time in your life, and God uses those seasons to develop you, to work in your life, to strengthen your faith, to cause you to see the hand of God in some wonderful ways. Be faithful to the Lord. Don't lose heart. Just keep pressing on. God is faithful. Amen. Now, in this account, Jesus was fasting for 40 days. You know, normally a time of fasting would be a time of, you know, of spiritual growth or trying to draw nearer to the Lord. But for him, no doubt, this was a great and challenging time for him in the wilderness. This is how his ministry is getting kicked off. This is how he's getting started. Some of you that are going to new schools or you've got new things going on, I was thinking about Abigail and Caleb had to leave, but a new baby, big challenges. New families, big challenges. All these things, new things bring with it many times new challenges and temptations that you go through, struggles that you go through, and you have to put your confidence in the Lord. Amen. All different kinds of temptations, and every one of us as Christians, we go through them. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also, for if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave it in the person of Christ. And then the next verse is the verse that we're the most familiar with. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So that verse is tied with forgiveness, your ability to forgive. And as you forgive, if you don't forgive, then it gives Satan an open door. It gives him an advantage against you. Everybody here has been offended. Everybody has gone through. Sometimes folks get offended at God. They get upset with God because of what has happened in their life. You can't get anywhere with God, and you certainly are opening the door. Satan will get an advantage of you, and he'll be able to come against you if you don't learn the important lesson of forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Forgive. It's not just about forgiving them. Forgiveness is not releasing them from the responsibility for what they did to you. Forgiveness has something to do with you as well. Forgiveness is freeing you from carrying that burden, freeing you from carrying that load in your life, and also freeing you from the enemy coming against you. We're not to be ignorant of his devices or his schemes, his plans. His plan is to attack you, to tempt you, to come against you. And you may have gone through a season where someone has offended you or hurt you, and you feel like that you have been harmed in some way. I want you to know that the grace of God is sufficient for you. You can forgive. You can forgive. Everybody has been mistreated and ill-treated at some time or another in your life. Amen. Amen. You know, I've always thought, well, I'm a nice guy. I treat people good, and I'm kind, and I'm a nice fellow. But every once in a while, someone will get upset with me. And I'm like, why are they upset with me? I'm a nice person. But people just get mad over no reason. I've told this before. Many years ago, a lady in the church asked me to visit someone that was their relative in the hospital. And I go to the hospital. When I get there, this person is almost gone. I mean, they're unconscious. They don't even know that I'm in the room. And so I just step in the room for a minute or two. I pray with this person, and I leave. When I get home, I get a phone call from another member of the family that is cursing me and saying, why did you go in there? You had no right to go in there. And I said, well, so-and-so family member asked me to go. I just went because they asked me to go. That wasn't good enough for them. They just poured it on me. And I wanted to say, well, I'll never visit you guys again. I'll never have nothing to do with your family again. But that wasn't the way it was to be. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. And you say, I'm not going to let them off the hook. I'm not going to forgive them and let them off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook when you forgive. Forgive and close the door, because Satan wants to get an advantage on you. He wants to see an opportunity to come against you. So if you've been offended, then you need to forgive and let God help you to forgive them and move on by the grace of God. Let God give you the grace to forgive them and move forward. It's just a season you're in. And the worst thing you've ever faced can be a wonderful training opportunity for you. Learning in the grace of God. Learning in God's plan in your life. If you think of those terrible things that's ever been done to you, that God by His grace can use that in your life to develop some things and to train you and to help you to become what He wants you to be, if you'll put your trust in the Lord today. There are seasons in our life. I wish it could all be high. I wish we could all have times where we're just smiling and, you know, everything is just wonderful and we had no problems, but we do have seasons just like Jesus did. A season at the beginning of His ministry, and He was able to deal with that temptation through the sword of the Spirit, by the word of the Lord. The Bible says in Luke 17:4, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's pretty tough. If you get offended seven times in one day, and he just keeps coming at you, you forgive. You forgive and move forward. Amen. By the grace of God. Don't give the enemy an advantage against you. Amen. You know, Jesus, at this time of this most glorious experience, then it is the Spirit of God that leads him into the wilderness. So don't ever think that you're going to be the exception. Don't be surprised when you have some tough times, some temptations, some struggles. Sometimes the struggles are just in your mind. They're in your own, you know, the turmoil of your own spirit. And you're questioning and wondering about what's going on and why are things going the way that they are. Every believer faces these times. You all go through times when you can be discouraged, seasons of trouble, seasons of fear and doubt and worry. We go through these times in our Christian experience. But the wonderful thing is that because we are servants of the Lord, God turns all of these experiences around and turns it into a victory. Amen. Jesus is tempted three times. Each one of those temptations, he responds with the word of the Lord. After the third temptation, and they were temptations that were really, that dealt with different things. Had to do with his human weakness when he's fasting. Had to do with his pride and ambition, tempting him in that area. Testing him, even quoting, or actually misquoting, from Psalm 91, which was just a test. To the word of the Lord. Is God's word really true? Jesus used the sword of the Spirit in each one of those temptations. And finally, Satan says, well, I'm going to give up for a time, for a season. I'm not making any headway here. It says he left him for a season, which tells me that he's always looking for an opportunity to tempt. He's always looking for an opportunity to come against you. Another verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. This is Paul talking about his opportunities in the city of Ephesus. And he said, a great door and effectual is open unto me. He just simply saying, a great opportunity is before me for me to be effective for Christ in Ephesus. And he said, this great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. It's true. Every time that God does something new and wonderful in your life, then the enemy wants to steal that. He is the thief. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. All of you young people that went to camp and had great spiritual experiences and received the Holy Ghost, and some of you were saved for the first time, and really God did some wonderful things in your life, then the next thing that happens is that old liar, that old thief, wants to come and steal and rob and take away all the wonderful things that God has done for you. Amen. So I'm just giving you this warning today that it's a common thing. No temptation is taking us by surprise. Amen. We understand that as Christians, we're going to have seasons where we do experience times. And I don't know what you're going through, what you're dealing with, but you may be in a season right now, a really tough time, and you're struggling in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart. You can't hardly see the way ahead. You can't see how you can keep moving forward. Don't give Satan an advantage. Don't give him an advantage. Put your confidence in the Lord today. Put your trust in the word of the Lord today. In Jesus, who is empowered of the Spirit. He uses the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to defeat that tempter. Quoting the word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he didn't use his divine powers as the Son of God. And he did what he did so that we could see. He's given to us this example. And all through his ministry, that's what he did. He was baptized in water, not because he needed to be baptized, but because he was giving this pattern that he wanted us to follow. And then, as he is led into the wilderness, again, we have the example given to us. You can be victorious over the tempter, this one that wants to kill and destroy you, defeat you, steal from you, take every good thing that God has ever given to you. He's a liar. But you've got the word of the Lord. You have the word of God. And you can use the word as the sword of the Spirit against the enemy of your soul. And Jesus gave us this pattern, and we can do it, and we can defeat the enemy who wants to destroy us. Amen. So be prepared. If you're not in a trying situation today, It may be next week, it may be next month, it may be coming for you, but whenever it does come, then you can understand this is the pattern. And I can fight him with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. Amen. And believe God for the victory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just pray today for those in this service today that are struggling. They're struggling. They're in a time of temptation. They're in a time of doubt. They're going through a great deal of turmoil in their spirit. Maybe they're having trouble forgiving someone. And Lord, even sometimes trouble forgiving you. And Lord, I just pray that you would minister help, Lord, today. And God, that your word would be that sword that they can use to defeat the enemy who's trying to destroy them, kill them, steal from them all the wonderful things that God has given to them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. A lot of people that have turned their back on the Lord and walked away from God, walked away from the church, they failed in that hour of temptation. It has caved in to those temptations. Instead of resisting the enemy, resisting the lies of the enemy, using the sword of the Spirit. Praise God. Let's stand together.